When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome. Happy Sunday morning. Do you know this is rounding closer to the actual NFL season? We only have today. We actually have 3 preseason games. Then next week, there will be no games. And then Thursday, September 5th, the season is here. So today, just doing a quick episode looking at some news and notes, some of the big stories that are going on right now in the NFL as we approach the end of preseason. Only 3 preseason games left. There's a noon kickoff today, then 2:30 kickoff, which is Arizona and Denver. And then actually Sunday night football this week. And that'll bring the preseason to a close. Then final roster cuts are due on Tuesday, the 27th, and then it should be kind of quiet as teams are assembling their practice squads and maybe picking up some waiver pickups between now and the kickoff of the regular season, where the Ravens will meet the Chiefs on that Thursday night, September 5th. The Eagles and Packers will then play the next day in Sao Paulo, Brazil. So kind of a big kickoff weekend for the NFL, something to get excited about. But as I mentioned, today I'll be looking at news and notes, and then I'm going to go ahead and give you my Fearless Award predictions. Next week we'll do some final playoff predictions and things like that as we approach the actual start of the regular season. But today I'm going to give you some Fearless Award predictions. But first, let's dive into the latest going on around the league. There have been a few minor injury concerns here and there. Of course, J.J. McCarthy, the rookie quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, banged up his knee. They went to explore to see if it was just a partially torn meniscus or all the way torn. They ended up having to do a complete repair. He will be out for the entire season for Minnesota. Right now, the projection is that Sam Darnold, of course, who they signed on a 1-year deal, will be their starter all season, has a real chance to do that kind of Baker Mayfield rebuild my career thing if he plays well there. But they also figure to keep Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall. And I know if you're a Vikings fan, you saw those guys last year and you'd rather not see them again. Probably a little bit how Justin Jefferson feels, but we'll see how that goes. DeAndre Hopkins banged up his knee, but he figures to be back in the regular season. Jaylen Warren is dealing with an injury, may actually miss week 1 for the Steelers. That bears watching. They are going to play the Atlanta Falcons. I don't think that would be an easy game anyway. A lot of intrigue about some of the quarterback, who's going to start where. The Patriots had seemed to be tracking all offseason like they were going to start Jacoby Brissett, but he faltered a little bit in the preseason, and we saw some decent moments from Drake May, and that led to some comments from the coach that the competition was wide open. That is actually the Sunday night game this week. The Patriots are at the Commanders. Jacoby Brissett due to start the game, but we will see Drake May. Curious to see if we see much of Jaden Daniels, but that's the 2 and 3 picks in the draft. We know Daniels is going to start. We know Caleb Williams is going to start. We know Bo Nix won the quarterback job in Denver and will start. So 3 rookies certainly starting. Can Drake May state his case tonight? That being the very last preseason game, it's going to have some intrigue just because that's a job that seemed like it was settled that is now a little bit more up in the air. Another job that is settled, I mentioned Bo Nix won in Denver. Gardner Minshew has been named the starting quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders. It was a competition with him and Aiden O'Connell. Some people thought it was going to go to O'Connell. I don't think either of them incredibly separated themselves. Antonio Pierce going with the veteran Minshew, who has a little bit more starting experience and a little bit maybe more polish to his game. We shall see. The Raiders open against the Chargers on September 8th. They're hoping for a fast start. We'll see what that means. The other quarterback race that seems to be up in the air is the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, Russell Wilson was designated the starter even after they acquired Justin Fields, but Wilson has been dealing with a little bit of an injury situation during training camp. And then last week, neither group looked that good. The problem is Justin Fields hasn't exactly distanced himself on the field. Wilson got the start yesterday, only played a brief amount of time, was 2 of 2 for 26 yards, completing passes to George Pickens, you know, and if you're going to throw to receiver, Pickens probably the best guy. Justin Fields came in, was 3 of 4 for 40 yards. Four quarterbacks played yesterday, including Kyle Allen and John Reese Plumley. The Steelers lost 24-17 to Hendon Hooker and the Detroit Lions. I don't take a lot away from them losing. You know, Mike Tomlin said he was pleased with Russell Wilson's results. I think Wilson will start week one. That could be a tougher game. You know, Justin Simmons, Jesse Bates, AJ Terrell, that is a pretty good secondary there now for Atlanta. Atlanta also has Kirk Cousins, who we still have some questions exactly what he's going to look like, but Cousins, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts to push the ball up the field, and it is in Atlanta. I think Wilson could potentially start at least the first two games, both of which are road games for the Steelers, because week two they will be in Denver, and that's shaping up to be a very interesting game as Bo Nix and the Broncos host the Steelers. But, you know, if Pittsburgh gets off to a slow start, what happens when they return home week three against the Chargers? Is it still Russell Wilson? Do they go to Justin Fields? I think at some point in time they play both these quarterbacks. This way I didn't have either of them particularly high in redraft rankings. I think it may be a back and forth. It's not like we haven't seen that before with Arthur Smith. That was a real frustration last year, even with Atlanta, when he kind of rotated quarterbacks back and forth, trying to find the answer that always seemed to evade him. So that's a little bit of the quarterback races, which are some of the bigger questions that you always have going into fantasy. But this week we had a massive trade, and not massive in terms of big fantasy implications, but just very shocking for a lot of reasons. It was an intra-division trade as the Commanders traded a wide receiver, Jahan Dotson, to the Philadelphia Eagles. Dotson, a former first-round pick, seemed to be profiling at least as their number two receiver, goes to the Philadelphia Eagles for a third and a seventh. He went along with a fifth-round pick, so kind of some swapping of picks. Reports have come out subsequent that Jahan Dotson may be a little bit in the doghouse with Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator for the Commanders, maybe did not fit their scheme, wasn't having a good camp for them. I will start with the Eagles. For the Eagles, I think this makes a lot of sense behind Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown. They didn't really have a lot of depth. They had signed Devontae Parker this offseason to kind of play that third wide receiver, and he elected then to retire. That left them with Paris Campbell kind of as their third receiver. He's probably better as a fourth receiver. Dotson, it's a low-risk investment. He is still a guy on a rookie contract for a couple more seasons. If they like what they're getting, they could always pick up that fifth-year option as well. I don't think this, for me, doesn't do anything for my thoughts on A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, who I think are still going to have a heck of a season. But it does give them a little more depth. Part of that fade down the stretch the Eagles had last year, too, came when injuries piled up for Brown and Smith, and they were not always available, and they did not have guys that stepped up. So maybe cultivating a potential better option and some depth gives them more weapons when they're out there in a three wide receiver set, which could help with some of the tight coverages on their star receivers. For the Commanders, I'm not sure this changes a lot either. I don't know if it's going to be a particularly robust passing offense. When Kingsbury had Kyler Murray in Arizona, Murray never had a 4,000-yard passing season. Do we expect a lot of high-flying passing? I'm not. Jaden Daniels will run some. They also brought in Austin Eckler to team with Brian Robinson, so they have some running games. I think Eckler is a good receiver, will be a good receiver out there. They have Ertz and Sinnott to run out a couple of tight ends. Deami Brown has had a good camp and has shown some early chemistry in preseason games with Jaden Daniels. I think this benefits him. Eckler, probably Sinnott and Ertz the most. Terry McLaurin, still their number one wide receiver, was, I think, going to be the number one receiver. He saw 132 targets last year. I think he probably sees about the same amount of volume, maybe even closer to 150 targets now with Dotson out. And, you know, a lot of people were rushing to, oh, this means we're going to see a lot more McCaffrey. We might see some more Luke McCaffrey, but I'm not banking on him having a huge fantasy season just yet. The other big news this offseason has been checking in on some of the trade rumors and disputes. We got word that Brandon Ayuk had permission to seek a trade a couple of weeks ago after kind of a contentious offseason. The 49ers have also made some new offers trying to sign him to a long-term deal. You know, it came out that Browns, Patriots, Steelers were in the mix. They had the framework of a trade that the 49ers liked with both the Browns and the Patriots, but Ayuk.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Nick's wanting to go to those locations, so those guys are seemingly out. Word has been for a while that the framework of a trade with the Steelers is in place, and it's whether Ayuk wants to sign a deal there or perhaps sign a long-term deal with the 49ers. And that's been the case for over a week. We have not seen any movement. Ayuk did not play in the final preseason game for the 49ers. It's been kind of radio silent. This is an issue that... You know, when it first bubbled up, we have plenty of time. He'll probably be with the 49ers. But as we're getting closer to the season, it feels like there is a little more pressure on some kind of a resolution. Ayuk reported to camp but would not participate in practice. It was kind of a hold and did not play in games. The most latest buzz is that they're seemingly a little closer to a long-term extension with the 49ers. If I had to go with my gut, I think he ends up staying with the 49ers. I think it benefits both player and team. The 49ers are a team that are definitely in their Super Bowl window right now, and Brandon Ayuk is their best wide receiver. So that's something to keep a little bit of an eye on. Another contentious situation is the Cowboys. And this is a rough one. They have not had a great offseason. CeeDee Lamb did not report, has not been into camp. Dak has been there, but he's been a little bit banged up, and we've not seen him play. Both those guys are in contract years looking for new deals, as is Micah Parsons, their best defensive player. So far, Dallas has not managed to get any of it done. But what's more concerning to me with the Lamb situation than even maybe Ayuk is the way things have played out in the press. Jerry has made some weird comments. We've seen CeeDee Lamb respond with some, less than encouraging social media responses. The fact that he's not in camp, has stayed away, is starting to be a little bit concerning. Let's face it, the Dallas Cowboys are not going anywhere unless they have Dak, Lamb, and Micah Parsons in there playing at their highest level. If you look at Dallas's roster, aside from CeeDee Lamb, it's not that great. And honestly, Dak may not have brought them a lot of postseason glory, but we saw Trey Lance yesterday against third and probably fourth string guys, practice squad guys against the Chargers, throwing five interceptions in a game that the Cowboys lost. Cooper Rush is a fine journeyman, quintessential backup quarterback. I made a joke yesterday after seeing Trey Lance and his five interceptions. Jerry Jones might have called Dak's agent and said, "I give up. Tell me exactly what you want." Dak has been a lot of back and forth, and he is going to get a good contract and be a quarterback for somebody. If Dallas elects to move on, Do they have a plan? What is the season going to be like? I was bullish on Dak and Lamb for fantasy all off season, but I'm starting to get a little bit nervous just because there seems to be some bad energy and some contention there. And again, we have 10 days before the season kicks off for them to get things set up, get them right. If we hear that Lamb reported and is in some practices preparing for week one, I'll feel a lot better. But this is definitely a situation to watch and is probably the kind of distraction a Cowboys team that has a lot of pressure already from fans, media expectation, and yearly hype does not need as they're preparing for a new season. Well, that's going to do it for some of the latest news and notes. We'll be curious to see, as I mentioned, cut down day, final roster setting is on Tuesday. There's always some big surprises, some guys that do and do not make a team, and let's see how that shakes out. That'll be something to keep an eye on. Well, before I get out of here, I wanted to quickly touch on my award predictions for this season. I am going to do Comeback Player of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, MVP, and Coach of the Year. And you might say, where's the defense? Well, I look at a lot of things from a fantasy perspective. Defense is definitely important from an NFL perspective, but since this is a more fantasy-oriented show, looking at maybe some of the more fantasy-relevant award predictions. And I'll start with Comeback Player of the Year, and I'm going with Aaron Rodgers. I think the Jets are going to have a decent season. Rodgers only got 4 snaps last year on a new team, came out, got injured, tore his Achilles. I think he's going to be out there and in for a good season. I think this is a interesting one. He should qualify because he missed all of last year. I think if he rolls out there and puts up a solid season and the Jets are on the cusp of a playoff berth or actually get into the playoffs, that's going to be a strong piece of his case. So he was one that kind of leapt out to me a little bit for a Comeback Player of the Year. Offensive Rookie of the Year, maybe it's boring, but I am actually going with Caleb Williams. Not only have I liked what I've seen on the field, I think the Bears could make a step up and really challenge for or perhaps get into the playoffs. They're a team that I've been warming to a little bit more. Maybe it's the Hard Knocks effect a little bit, getting to watch them. I really have appreciated the energy and the kind of classiness in the organization. I've been interested in Matt Eberflus and Caleb Williams and the way they've carried themselves, seeing it play out there. But Williams has also very much impressed on the field and has an incredible slate of weapons. They got DeAndre Swift in the backfield to go with Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson at wide receiver. They locked DJ Moore up long-term. He's been a great addition to them. They also traded for Keenan Allen and drafted Romo Odunze. They still have Cole Kmet, and they brought in Gerald Everett. They have depth. They have some good stars. And I think they are in a conference where 9 wins could get you in the playoffs. 10 wins, I think, locks you into the playoffs. They were a 7-10 team last year. They're not as bad as you remember them being. They have the number one overall pick, thanks to having Carolina's pick. So it's not a big leap to say they could be 2 wins better this year. And 2 wins better, I think, could put you into the playoff hunt. 3 wins better, I think, gets you into the playoffs. I like Caleb Williams a lot. Offensive Player of the Year, I'm going with Tyreek Hill. He was on pace for 2,000 yards receiving, which we haven't seen done last year. Some injuries and some uneven play for the Dolphins kind of curbed that a little bit at the end. He didn't even actually end up finishing as wide receiver 1 in fantasy. That honor went to CeeDee Lamb just because of the way Dallas finished. But there has been a lot of talk and a lot of focus from Miami this year on winning the division, but on winning a playoff game. And I think they are very focused on the end destination of where they want to go. I like the Miami Dolphins. I like Coach Mike McDaniel. I like what they've got going there. I think Tyreek Hill could be on a real heater pace again. He, Jalen Waddle, and Tua Tagovailoa are locked up for the long term. I think that is a good core for Miami, and I think Hill will have a big season. NFL MVP, this is probably going to give you an idea of maybe where I'm going next week when I do my final playoff predictions, but I'm going with Jared Goff. You know, he's been a little bit maligned over the years. That trade where he and some draft picks went to the Lions in exchange for Matt Stafford might end up being the kind of trade that we look back and say was great for both franchises. Stafford got to go to LA and get a Super Bowl and play with Sean McVay, but Jared Goff, a very underrated piece in that, almost felt like a throw-in at the time, but has really developed into a great staple in that young Detroit Lions team. They had an amazing year last year. I think they were very close to being able to make it to a Super Bowl. I like them a lot this year. I like the energy. I like the roster. And I think Goff is an underrated veteran presence. I'm pushing some chips in on Detroit this year, and that is part of the reason why I have Jared Goff here and why I have this man as my coach of the year, and that is Dan Campbell. I like Detroit this year. I think Detroit is going to be very good and be very fun to watch, and I'm very excited to see them play. So I went a little Detroit heavy there in my awards predictions. So that is my five awards predictions for the year. As I mentioned, I'll have my final playoff predictions for the year next week as we look to almost be into the regular season, getting very exciting. But that'll do it for me today. Hope you guys enjoy. There are, as I mentioned, three NFL games on the slate today. The first of those is the Titans at the Saints. It kicks off at 2 p.m. Eastern. And then at 4:30 Eastern, the Cardinals will be at the Broncos. No Bo Nix. They have already come out and said he will not play. But a fascinating battle if you're watching those kind of things for Denver. Not a lock that they keep three quarterbacks, which means watching Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson, they could be playing for an actual roster spot. And then we close things out 8 Eastern tonight on NBC, Sunday Night Football, the New England Patriots at the Washington Commanders. A lot of questions, you know, obviously getting a look maybe at the Commanders and life without Jahan Dotson. For the Patriots, is it going to be Jacoby Brissett? Is it going to be Drake May week one? A lot of that could get sewn up tonight. So if you want to check those out, those are the games that are on this Sunday. And that will bring the preseason to a close. Next up, we'll be on to games that count. Something to look forward to. Until then, you guys have a wonderful Sunday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.